Cisterns today, don't we? We all have cisterns in our houses. I never had to deal with cisterns outside the house. the battle. You know, I'm not showing you some of these things for you to be curious about. I wonder what that's like. Maybe I'll go check it out. And I feel that's a danger, it's a side effect danger that what could happen. And I really hope that that's not the point. You're going to take it out. I want you to know some of these things, especially since, you know, we have children that might be looking at some of these things. The first one that we're going to look at is called Second Life. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of this or not, but to me this is a really frightening, scary thing. Basically, it's a website where you can have a second life, a life that doesn't seem to them their regular life. So I can go in this, I can set up an account, and I can create what we call an avatar, and I can make myself look any way I want to make it. You can make yourself look anything, and you'll notice up here that some of them have wings. You know, I mean, you can do anything you want. Of course, you can imagine, you know, what some girls would want to make themselves look like on this site. It's not really a game. It's not really even a game. It's just a world. There's a world, and there's comments, and you go to different places, and you can buy and sell property and build homes and build businesses and anything you really want. It's an online virtual world, and it was launched on June 23rd, 2003. Second Life users are called residents. They interact with each other through avatars. Residents can explore the world known as the grid, meet other residents, socialize, participate in individual and group activities, and create and trade virtual property and services with one another. Basically, anything that you can do in this world, they try to make it so that you can do in that world. So there are certain continents that are X-rated continents. And you can go there and you can do whatever evil thoughts you can imagine right now. I won't talk about everything, but whatever you think you could possibly do, then yes, you can do that in this world. And so there's people everywhere that are just sitting in their rooms and living in this place. And it's been validated because there's a lot of businesses that have gone in there and have built like their little place, like Nissan goes in there. And you can go in there and you can actually go into Nissan and look at the cars that are doing like a little test driving game in Second Life that you can do these things. I've never been in Second Life, so I'm just speaking from my research on what other people said and different, like you can get screen captures of various things. Reuters news agency actually hired a person to be a full-time embedded news reporter in Second Life to report out to the real life any news that might be happening in there. I mean, it could be very soon in the future. We've got presidential debates in Second Life, and we could go in there and sit there and watch what they're saying. It's very strange. So the picture I have up here, you might notice, is what? A church. And this is, I was talking earlier out there to Mike. Sometimes I'm always amazed at how, you know, when truth is spoken from the pulpit, sometimes I'm shocked about things that are said, because that's exactly what I'm going to say. Stop talking, Rick. I'm going to duck your tongue. You're all stomping all over. Well, that always happens, doesn't it? Doesn't that always happen? And why are we shocked about that? There's only one truth, and one Spirit that speaks it. So we just have things, there's just a lot of things we talked about that we're going to be talking about again today. This, talking about partaking of the Lord's table, you know, it can be way worse. It's my job to do the depression here. It can be way worse than what we've even been talking about already. There are fast food at Lord's table. You know, you just like McDonald's. You can drive right through and get your communion and go on, keep going. I mean, that's in our world. That's in our real world today. But what we have here is we have people that are putting together churches, and of course that are really, you know, new world, you know, sitting in lotus position. You know, there are all kinds of different churches and denominations that have already set things up in this place. So you can go to church online and still be in the privacy of your home. You can take communion. You can click this button right here. We're all going to click this button right here, and we're going to take the loaf. Now we're going to click this button. We're going to take the cup. This is what we can do on here. That's a problem. That's a real problem. And they're really
acceptable to God.
And we present that. That's what you're doing this week. And it's an encouragement. You come. You didn't have to come. You're presenting your bodies together. We have our bodies come together to make the body. So you're presenting your body. And what is that when you're doing that? You're presenting your body a what? A living sacrifice.
I love words.
A living sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is something that's dead. Right? A sacrifice is something that's dead. How can you be a living sacrifice? What are we sacrificing? We're sacrificing what the rest of the world is engaging in. We're sacrificing the world. You could be somewhere else today. There could be a lot of other places that you could be doing and having fun or doing something. But you sacrifice that. You sacrifice the world and you present your body. This is very important. And we need to be careful with technology, because this is what I can see in this next, I try to think, what is technology taking us? This is one of those areas where I think that technology is really taking some people to not be presenting our bodies. We could have online services. We talked about Skype the other day. How can we use Skype? How can people eventually start using Skype in church services? It could be done, couldn't it? You can all go home right now. I could just put my head on your dining room table, and I could just speak right here into my computer and hear the same message. That wouldn't be as encouraging to me. To just be here and no one else here. See, we come up with these technologies, things that are so good, but they're against God's plan. They're not presenting our bodies together. And when we're talking about these things, when we're not with the body, and we can't partake in the Lord's Supper, then it is a sad thing. I remember talking to my grandma Mildred for last couple years of her life. Boy, it bothered her. She could tell you how many communions she had missed. I want to be there. This is something that's very, very important to us, and we should be able to feel this. I told her, I said, Grandma, I said, you probably, Lord, have been to more, have partaken in communion more times than I might in the rest of my life. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter. It's coming together. It's seeing people and fellowshipping with them. It's the greatest thing I always feel that I do. I love to pass the emblems to my wife. There's something about that. We pass the emblems down. But don't you like that? And here, I'm part of the body. Here, you're part of the body. We participate in this together. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. These technologies can take us away from that. They can take us away from a lot of things that were set up by God that were right. Why are we to come together? There's a lot of reasons we're supposed to come together. I'm going to be behind. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke into love and to good works. Now, can we do that with technology? Can we provoke one another to love and good works with technology? Yes, we can.
Now, everybody's kind of scared to show me.
Yes, we can. That's what I've been trying to show you. We can use technology for good. So we can consider one another to provoke into love. Consider. What can I do? How can I help this person do good works and show them I love them, and maybe they'll do good works for someone else, show them I love them? We can use technology to do it, but what's the best way that we can do it? What's the best way we can do it? Together, we present our bodies. There's a reason for the rest, why we have the rest of this verse. What's it say? It says, let us consider one another provoking to love and to good works. And then it says, here's the best way to do it. Don't stop meeting together. Present your bodies. Not forsaking the assembling of the saints together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. This is how you can do it. The best. It's God's plan. It's the best way that we can possibly do that. Technology is really good. There's a lot of people that really physically could not be here these 2 weeks, but they can still enjoy the lessons and the sermons on technology. They can put on their iPod, they can be mowing the lawn, they can be driving their car, they can be listening. times there might be bad thoughts. So there's really good opportunities that we can have with technology. I'm going to insert, I guess I said three things, but I'm going to insert one right in here that I haven't talked a whole lot about, but I am talking a little bit more about with the kids, because this one happens to be, I think, a bigger problem with the kids, and that's kind of a gaming, playing different games. Now, these things might not enthuse us as much, but it does with some of the kids. And not that some of the games are bad, but it just takes so much time. If we're doing this 7 hours a day, then there's seriously a problem. There's other things that we should be doing. 61% of the kids downstairs, however, said that they have played a violent or sexually suggestive video game. 61% of them have been dealing with this. Now, for us, there's still some issues with this. There's, you know, one of the things I see a lot is things that you can either ask. On Facebook, like Farmville, and there's a Disney one, I think, or something. And the only reason I know these is because you guys sometimes have them so that they send out messages, and I get something from Farmville trying to, I don't even know what I'm doing. I've never been on Farmville, and it just always bothers me because we technically are farmers, we own cows, we don't own any Neapolitan cows, I've never seen those. Farmville is not really farming. Talk to Mike Rogers, he can tell you and show you some things what farming is really like, if you really are interested in that. My dad knows how to do those things. Same things, we can really educate you if you'd like to come out to the farm someday. Farmville isn't anything like that. You know, don't think you're a farmer because you're playing this 14 hours a day. I mean, it just takes you away from things that you could be doing. Consider how you can provoke someone to get worse. That's a much better game to play. Let's try that. Instead of just turn some of these games off. Okay. Ready? Let me see a show of hands of people that have offended God. Okay. I was doing a psychological experiment there. Doug asked that question, and it wasn't the first time I've heard that question asked. And generally what happens on that is when you ask that question, you think about it for a little bit, right? And everybody's hands goes up because we all know that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so if we don't put our hands up, we're lying, and now we should put our hands up, right? Because we've got God. It's a vicious circle. But I want to do a little experiment there, and I think it might have happened. I'm not sure. I put a word up on the board, and everybody has read that word, and then I say, how many of you offended God? I think, and this was a psychological experiment, I think I saw maybe a little bit more hesitation on whether you wanted to put your hand up. Because we can all answer, yes, I've offended God. Oh, okay, let's go down now, every one of you, and tell me how. And that becomes a different issue. Our sins are disgusting, and we're guilty about them, and we don't feel good about them. And we know we all have them, or we all are very sure that we all have them. And we're all saying that, yes, I am a sinner, and I do have problems, but I don't want to tell you what they are, because then you're going to judge me on it. Even if you have the same problem, you're still going to judge me on it. This is a kind of a mentality we have. We're supposed to confess our faults one to another, but I don't really want to. It's going to be a tough thing to do. So we're going to talk about this for as long as we need to. And we're going to start the way every sermon I've ever heard on pornography starts. We're going to list the terrible, depressing stats. And I was listening on the very first day, and I think John Morris, I think it was, on the very first day, gave a whole bunch of stats on pornography, didn't he? And they're like the exact same website that I use. I was like, no, John! This is how it works. So we're going to look at some stats here, and then we're going to try to take it to a new level. We're going to really talk about this, because we have problems, and we need some ammunition. And we need some help. And there's people in this audience. porn sites in a typical month, 33% are women. Now, I don't really know why they kept putting that ages on there, because everything I ever looked at, it does, that percentage doesn't really drop off. If ages over 24, doesn't really drop off. Generally, everything I see is 70% of men are regular pornography use. 70%. And a lot of the ones I saw were way higher than that. So I'm trying to give you some of the ones I put on here. I literally put on the lower end of the stats that I could find. I'm really trying not to be as depressing as I possibly can. But a lot of these numbers are higher than what they really are. Now, a lot of you are thinking, yeah, but I mean, that's men in the world. That's the world. What about the church? People that profess Christianity. We'll get to that here in a second. In the U.S., $2.84 billion are spent on pornography per year. This is in the U.S. $4.9 billion worldwide. So if you do the math real quick, it's over 50% of all the money for pornography comes from the United States, our Christian nation that we live in. 35% of all internet downloads are pornographic. The average age in which a person is first exposed to pornography. Anybody? Should we dare guess?
40 years old.
Pretty close. 11. That's the first time our children probably came across it somewhere. See if you remember this from last week. These were mentioned. The least popular day of the year for viewing pornography. Okay, remember?
Thanksgiving.
Why? Let's talk about that. Why would that be? You're with your families, right? You're actually, this is something that almost everyone does on Thanksgiving. Generally, everybody, non-Christians alike, spend time, a lot more, with their families. And who created a family? Yeah, so what happens here is what we see here, very clearly, I think, is that when we're doing something that was created by God, then we don't do things that are evil. It's a real general statement, but I think it's generally true. When we're going to spend time doing things that God created or things that God set up for us to do, then we're generally not going to be filling ourselves with evil. So, if we go on that concept, what should be the day of the week where the least porn is viewed? Sunday, because the Lord is established on the first day of the week, we come together. That should be the best day, right? And what is it? It's the worst day. It's the worst day, which shows how much of the world is not obeying that command to be spiritual, to be holy, to come together, to present your body in the form of the body of Christ. This is presenting your bodies in a whole, new, evil way. That's what pornography is. Of the students downstairs have intentionally viewed porn. And I think Ben said I could say it. They divide it up between the guys and the girls, so they do kind of know guys and girls. And there's approximately 41% of the kids downstairs are boys. Okay? We need to realize some things, and these are going to be some hard things to hear and talk about today. And maybe I'll be running out of town later, but it's all right because Jeff is patient. But let's think about us. You know, I almost kind of wish we could do Would you expect that?
I would.
Right? I would start to spend that with the world. I would expect that because of the weapons that we have, that we do present our bodies together in fellowship and try to align ourselves with this, that it should be much lower. And it is much lower. It's 20% lower. But that's that. Doesn't probably make you feel that good, does it? That is the lowest percentage I could find in anything that has ever been done in any churches anywhere. 50% of church-going men intentionally view pornography. And I can't remember, sometimes it's like in the last month, or sometimes they do it like the last 6 months. Not that they're watching it every single second, non-stop, but they can slip into it once every 6 months or something, and that is going to be a problem no matter what. So this is scary when you start thinking about it, because that means one of every two of us. We could start numbering off, man. We could count off. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I obviously have no problem with it, I know that, then maybe the people on both sides of you do then, according to the stats. And I know, I can guarantee it. Some of you are out there thinking, that's not right. It's just not right. And I'm going to go ahead and let you go ahead. That's fine. You know, and maybe it's not right for this particular congregation of this body that we're meeting right now. Maybe it's not. But this stat is based on man's definition of pornography. I mean, now think about it naturally. This is man's definition of pornography. So how many of us have a problem with God's definition of pornography? And it might just be 100% of us. If you know that something you just saw was bad, then you might have a problem. You have a problem, right? And you did a good job avoiding the problem. But that temptation is there. And it's always there. And I believe, in fact, 100% of us. And we need to discuss how we're going to handle that problem. We can't just throw these stats up here and move on. We need to figure out, you got some ideas? What's some ideas? How I can avoid this? We have to admit, the first thing we need to do, and it's funny how, you know, you go to Alcoholics Anonymous, all these things. What are all those things based on? They're based on the Bible. Now, they don't put the scriptures right next to it, but the first thing to do is confess your faults one to another. It's the number one step, because they figured out these things work. Well, yeah, they work. They've been here forever. So the first thing we have to do is we have to admit and acknowledge the stench and stink of our sin that we have, even in the body of Christ. Did you know that Christians can stink? Did you know that? Have you ever been to Eminence and got on the bus and go to Canusa? I'm just saying, sometimes not the greatest trip. Okay? Put the windows down. Why? It's hot. No, there's another reason. We have problems, and we are stinky to God sometimes. And we can't gloss this over. We need to talk about it and discuss it. Ephesians 5, 1 through 3. Be ye therefore followers of God as your children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. This is what we're trying to do, be a sweet smelling savor. And what does it say next on how we are speaking? But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not one be named among you as becometh the saints. Now, I think we have a problem with that. Let it not one be named among us. What does that mean? It means, hey, don't talk about it. Let's not name it. You know, it's here, but we're going to say it's not here. That's not what that verse means. It says, get it out. Get it out. You have it. Get it out. What do we do? What tools are we going to use? How are we going to get it out of our lives? And we need to be able to talk freely about what ideas you have. I'm going to give you some ideas I have on how I battle pornography. I'm going to tell you my strategies. Because I think some of them are pretty... I have some success with some of them. Some of them a little bit more than others. I've had some success being able to get it out. It's difficult. And we better be honest and be able to discuss some of these things. Let it not once be named among you. Now, it says fornication... And pornography is John 14:50. Remember studying this last week? There was a really good discussion. I was at home listening on the computer and really wanted to put my two cents in, and now I have my chance to tell you what John should have told you. And he was alluding to this, I think. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Period. And then the discussion was, if I remember it right, was, you know, where is the sin? You know, is that the sin? And he said, no, and I agreed with him. That is the temptation. That's what it says. It says the definition of temptation. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. I'm running this morning, a girl runs by me. I was enticed. It was just bam, it was there, nothing I could do about it, it was right there. It was, you know, I mean, the guys know what I'm talking about. I mean, if you say you don't, I am going to call you a liar. this is the way it is. It's there. Now what are you going to do? Right there, that's it. There's a period there. Okay? But every man is tempted is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Period. Now what we're going to do, right there after that period, not that I'm adding to or taking away from the Word of God, because I'm not. I'm just using all the Scriptures. We're going to insert, right after that period, 1 Corinthians 10:13. We're going to insert, right there after that period, 1 Corinthians 10:13. How are you going to be tempted? Now this is temptation. The temptation come there, but what has God promised you? The temptation is not going to be more than you can bear, and there's a way to escape. Okay? Now, that doesn't specifically say it in this verse, because it's talking about the progression of sin. But that verse should be inserted right there in our mind, behind that period. There will be a way to escape. Now, the problem is, depending on how far we are into our addiction, there will be people that think that God is not telling the truth there. There is no way to escape. I have no way to escape at all. That is amazing what he'll say. And he had asked him to come in, the only person to go in and interview him, the night before he was executed. And there was a huge interview. You can go watch it online, but I took that, I worked for hours taking that interview and taking clips out, putting it all, trying to get it all the way down so that I really wanted to show you that, because there's some powerful words there. I got it down to 10 minutes, and I'm not going to give up my 10 minutes to actually show it to you. However, I did throw it on the a website, and I'm going to give you the link. It's a kind of secret link, so you can type that into the address line. You'll be able to go to it and watch my 10-minute edited version. If you want to just get on YouTube, you can watch the whole interview, because there's some other things that are interesting that he asked them. You may just want to watch the whole version. I will it down today like a 30-second clip.
Other ones that he talks about that are crazy. He talks about the point where he just was involved in pornography, that he hadn't done anything wrong. But you know, the question was, at what point did you decide to act out on some of these things? And he said he got to a point, and what he had to do was he had to get drunk. Because he had enough background, he knew what was going to be that was wrong, but he had to lower his inhibition to be able to make that jump. At the very beginning, most of the murders he did, he was half drunk every time he did it. And he talked about coming home and just the overracking guilt. And that would wait off, and then he would go and have to get that next top. This is what happens with the addiction. It's an interesting thing to watch, and you might want to check that out. In Matthew, the fifth chapter, there's by the way, if you go to clubmilitarychrist.org and then up in the address line, you do a / bundy.move, and you can watch my 10-minute version if you want to watch that. In Matthew 5:27-28, Jesus says something that scares a lot of people, and it should. He has heard it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looks on a woman and lusts after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And this isn't fornication, this is adultery in the heart. But what the Lord is saying here is that this is bad too. You know, there's a lot of people, and I really want to stress that situation. There's a lot of people that says, you know what, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not committing adultery on my wife. I'm not actually going through the sexual act. I'm just viewing this, so it's all right. Jesus said it's not all right. Jesus said it's like it's adultery of the heart. It's already a sin. It's a terrible thing. And what can it lead to? Well, Jesus tells us what it can lead to. What do we go? We go about four more verses, and what do we have? We go to the 32nd verse. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife's sin to cause of fornication, whosoever shall commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her
know how much better your life is going to be? Stay in bed. Why are you going up to the rooftop? What's the deal? Are you trying to see something? Why are you going? He walked around the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. Turn around, Isaiah. Turn away. Don't look upon her nakedness. Turn away. There's a way of escape. There's a way of escape. Did he do that? No. He saw the woman's very beautiful. He was lingering on. Turn your eyes. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, isn't this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam? The daughter of Eliam? Shouldn't there have been a red flag there? Shouldn't there have been a warning? This is someone's daughter, David. Give it up. Move away. Go back to bed. A way of escape. Isn't this the wife of Uriah? Did you ever notice all those things in that phrase? Isn't this the daughter of someone? Isn't this the wife of someone? Go back to bed, David. Turn away. Use this as a way of escape. Realize, this is the wife. This is the daughter. Then David sent messengers to get her. Keep missing all those chances of escape. He had more time than we normally do with technology. She came to him, and he slept with her. He missed all those opportunities of the escape route that God had put there for him. And what was the result? What was the result? Where can pornography lead us? Let's think about what happened in David's life because of this event. He committed adultery, right? Caused her to commit adultery. There was a son born of fornication, which, if you go read John 8, this was not good. It was promoting a bad character. What did he have Joab do? Right? We know what he had to do. He had to, and a promoter. He brought Joab in, and Joab committed sin then because he actually did what David told him to do. We have a murder, not only of Uriah, but other men too. If you read the passage, they had to pull back. You can't just pull back and just have Uriah there, and it talks about there were other men that died too. Remember Joab says, if David questions this, then say, Uriah is dead. I did what you're asking, but this is what it took. This is what it took. It took the death of other innocent men. Of course, the death of an innocent child. The sword will not leave him during his reign. That's where that comes from. It comes from this section right here. Nathan goes and says, remember that story? And David was outraged because it never looked bad. It looked so much worse on somebody else. That man needs to be put to death. And David says, Nathan says, we're talking about you. We're talking about you. You're this person. And it says the sword would never leave him during his reign. And what do we know eventually came to that? He wasn't allowed to do what? He wasn't allowed to build a temple to God because of this. And also in verse 14 it says, it gave cause for the enemies of God to blaspheme. We look like hypocrites. And then what happened to Absalom? Absalom slept with David's wives. Where did he sleep with them? On the rooftop. Day and night. In the sun. That's what God told him. God said, you did this thing on your rooftop in the secret of the night. This is going to happen to you in the daytime. The exact same thing is going to happen to you. What repercussions for him giving in to this pornography? We need help when we're going to break this addiction cycle. I'm going to throw out some strategies. Okay? These are ones that I've tried. Some of them, I think they're all good. That's why I wouldn't be giving them out if they hadn't worked for me. Some of them are better than others, probably. Some of them, you're going to think, well, that's obvious. And some of them, you're going to think, well, that's kind of weird. But I'm just telling you, if you want some help, here's some ideas. Okay? Let's just help each other here. Try to figure some things out. The first one, reading the scriptures. Reading the scriptures. Not just reading them, but trying to commit them to memory. Because sometimes when you're in a situation, all of a sudden there's a temptation, you might not have the Bible right there, right next to you. But I found that it's a really good strategy.
some of us to memorize some things. But actually, the harder you make it, you know, make it hard for you to memorize it, because then you're fumbling around and, you know, what's the next word? What's the next word? I can't remember what that is. I'm going to go look it up. And guess what? Now you're away from it. You distracted yourself. Distract yourself. And I have found that that is my number one. My number one is meditation on the scriptures. It can get me away from those things. Not as much at first, but later on you practice, and eventually it becomes fairly easy to say, that's a bad thing, and start saying your scriptures. It really is very powerful, and I know some people that are going to be ingrained in the addiction that you're not going to think that it's too difficult to do. Eventually, you can get those things to work. The other one, and you might think this is a little bit weird, but I did get this from someone who apparently had some problems with pornography, and this is how he did it. And I can't do this in front of you because I have to look in the mirror. You know, the verses in between Matthew 5, 27, 28, and 30 talk about what? They're very much related. It says, if your eye offend thee, pluck it out. Now, I don't want to do that. That's something that the Lord said that none of us apparently take seriously, because none of us have done that. Right? You know, have you heard that? I can't take it anymore. You know, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. So what I do, and I've done this, and you might want to do this too, and I can't, like I said, I can't do this, so I'll probably go cross-eyed. I literally look in the mirror, and I look into my eyes, and I say, eyes, I'm going to protect you with the best of my ability. The eyes are the window of the soul, right? And when I look on something that's sinful, fire comes through those windows and into my soul. And I want to avoid that. And you have other body parts that can help you with that. You have eyelids that can cover them up. You have a neck that swivels and can turn it away. You have a hand breadth measurement that can cover it up. What would you think the girl would think if you went like this? The next day, she probably had more clothes on. Because it would make her feel bad. And that might be good for her, too. These are things that we can do. So I want to look into my eyes, and I literally said, I make a covenant with you. I promise you that I, to the best of my ability, I will avert you from those things. Physically, I will turn away. I'm trying to keep it away. And it bounce back, and I keep it. Keep it away. This wasn't my idea. This was apparently Job's promise. And here's another passage you might want to memorize to put in that step number one, Job 31 and 1. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. I love that. I made a covenant with my eyes. I promised myself. Here's the next one. Next strategy. Do you understand that strategy? That's my desktop picture. I heard John Lee give advice one time, and it was good advice. That I think he's talking about in his secular job back in the thing. One thing he did is he took a picture of his family and he set it on the TV when it was in hotel rooms. I don't have a job like that where that temptation is for me. But I do have a laptop computer. And I make this my desktop because I see this picture and it makes me want to stop talking about what I'm even talking about. Innocence. And it's destroying. And the last thing is probably the most maybe bizarre thing, but it has to do with another human emotion. Generally, most of us are competitive, right? The Cardinals are almost 8 games back now, I'm just saying. Most of us are competitive, and this is something that I think we can maybe tap into and use for good. This was a discussion I had one time with a brother that had a gambling addiction. The things we're using here, we can use for all kinds of addictions. I mean, we're focusing on pornography, but we're talking in general, they can use for all things. And I was talking to the person with a gambling addiction, I go, the thing that I don't understand is, you know, you're very competitive. How do you stand losing every time? And of course, what's the gambler say? Well, I won last week. I won $100 last week. Regardless of the fact we lost $200 the week before, right? You don't see that at all. I go, no, that's not what I mean. I mean, every give in? When's the last time you got a victory? When have you said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go do something else that's worthwhile. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand up to the devil. When's the last time you've done that? And I think it helped that particular person because he was a very competitive person. And that helps me a little bit too. You know, if I have a victory, it's powerful. You think about it all day. I had a victory. This morning I was tempted and I didn't do it. It's good. It makes me feel good. You know, it's okay. Do an end zone celebration dance. You know what an end zone celebration dance looks like when you don't look at that pornography link? It has you drop into your knees in prayer to God, thanking Him for the strength that He just gave you, and asking for more for the very next minute when it comes back. These are the things that we need to do. These are some ideas that I have out that I'm throwing out for you, and hopefully you have some ideas that we can share also. And we're going to be out of time real soon. So the last one I want to look at is this. Have anybody seen this one? AshleyMadison.com. I literally thought it was a Saturday Night Live skit or something the first time I saw this, the commercial. I kept waiting and waiting for the commercial to come back around because surely that wasn't what I just thought it was. AshleyMadison.com. The mission statement, life is short, have an affair. You sign on here and everything is discreet, everything's secret. You know, no one's ever going to know. They pick people up with different people, and you can go ahead and have an affair. People are promoting adultery, promoting evil. This website was launched in 2001. Ashley Madison has nearly 100 million members, receiving roughly 1,800,000 unique visitors per month. That's what I have on Broken Sister Technology, and I really, at that point, wanted to open it up to people to have some discussion on that. However, I was really supposed to talk about educational study technology, and I didn't get to that. I could blow through that in a minute if you want. Or do you want to discuss some of this? Generally, people don't want to discuss this.